Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, thank you so much, Lord. I can see you moving today. I see confirmation in the things that have already happened today. That what you told me, that what you gave me, is in fact the message for today. And I thank you for that. You don't have to do that, but you do that because you're a good God, because you love us, and because you want us to know the truth. So thank you, Lord. Open our hearts today, and open my heart and open my mouth to speak not my own words, but your words today.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I do want to thank you, Priscilla, for breaking down the barrier and going ahead and doing what the Lord, you felt like the Lord called you to do, and opening up the possibilities for us to begin ministering people in the way that we ought to be doing it, and that nothing ought to stop us from doing it.
Amen.
And I appreciate that.
Amen.
We've been trying to be prudent, we've been trying to be careful, but that really fits in with the message today, because God meant us to operate a certain way. He meant for us to minister to each other. He meant for us to have touch.
Amen.
And so thank you. We put our trust in God that everything will be all right.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Because we all learned a new term this year that I bet you probably none of us have heard before. All of this stuff happened with the virus. We learned this term called social distancing. And, you know, understand that we've actually had people that have gotten sick. It was a real concern. Not saying it wasn't a real concern. But, boy, did we change everything. I'm here to tell you something, folks. God doesn't do social distancing.
Amen.
We have a culture of isolation that has been building even well before this whole coronavirus thing came to be. One of the reasons, there's several reasons, technology is one of them. And we have, you know, we have this thing now we call social networking, which to me is something of a misnomer. Because it facilitates an interaction without actually having to be present. And a lot of the nuances that we have in personal communication get lost behind the screen. I know, you know, we're doing some things now. We got video calls and everything else. It's not, and certainly it's not all bad. But there also comes with it a lower cost of antisocial behavior, because you can hide behind the screen and do that too. Unfortunately, it brings out the worst in some folks. But it's certainly not all bad. It has helped friends and family to maintain connections. I remember when I first got on Facebook, because a friend of mine, I had sent out an email to several of my contacts, you know, apologizing that I hadn't kept in touch better, and he sends me this invite, and I'm like, okay, now I guess I got to, whether I want to or not. So I get on there, and I find all my old friends from the previous church that I attended. All my old Hillcrest friends were there, and was able to sort of reconnect, and it's been a good thing in that sense. I also watch how it works in our neighborhood. And we all know, especially the way my neighborhood is designed, you don't ever have to see your neighbors. You come in through the back alley, everybody's got privacy fences. You come in through the back alley, drive your car in, park in your garage, go in your house. Nobody actually has to see anybody else ever. And you end up not talking. I finally said hello to my neighbor on the one side, or actually she said hello to me, past couple of months ago when I went out for a walk. So it's not all, there's some good things that have come of it, but we have children now who are growing up and they don't know how to interact unless they got a phone in front of them. And a lot of times our business can be conducted with no human interaction whatsoever. I was listening the other day, Linda had the news on, and I was noting how many of the commercials were saying, no contact. You don't have to see anybody. Well, then I confess, I kind of like that. I'm a bit of an introvert by nature. I love the fact that I don't have to talk to anybody to get stuff done. The Lord's working with me on that, because that's not exactly the best, setting for a pastor to have. But, that whole interaction with people that I don't know has always been a struggle. It's always been a tough thing for me to overcome. So this is like a nerd's paradise now. Everything's nice and, even that whole, handoff now, they don't even hand you your pizza anymore. They set it down and you come pick it up. No awkward handoffs because I don't see what's going on. You can go walk up to people. Now they don't even expect you to shake your hand. I don't have to look for it. But, we laugh and, it's funny, but it's not really the way we were meant to be. Yeah. And our families now have become so dispersed because of the prosperity that we have and the ease of travel. We're scattered from one coast to the other and further. And what happens then is that our families, they're not living close to each other, and we can't take care of each other as easy. And a lot of times our older folks are left alone. I was so glad to hear that the nursing homes, that they've loosened things up just a little bit, now that at least you can have a couple of family caregivers come in and have contact with their people that are in these nursing homes. Well, that's wonderful unless your family's not around. Those people are still kind of left on their own. And the prosperity has reduced our dependence on one another. And we can lead us really to this false belief that we can, of self-sufficiency, that we can take care of everything ourselves, we don't need anybody. And the government hasn't helped. It has been given, we've allowed it to take on responsibilities, however well-intentioned that we may have been by it. We've allowed the government to take on responsibilities that really belong to us as individuals or to us as churches. And we can dismiss our obligation because, somebody else does that. Now, unfortunately, because the resources we might have used have been taken away and distributed by somebody else, that's really not the only option we have anymore. We have to send them to the government because the government took our money. We can't do it. But the result is, guess what? The poor are still poor. Families have been destroyed. And incentive is discouraged. That's not the way God meant for things to work. And then add on top of all that what I'm beginning to call coronaphobia. I know it's a real threat. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. Like I said, we've had people get sick with it. But, so there were some precautions that were reasonable. But now the fear has taken over and it's become destructive. And we're more socially distant than we've ever been. And now, we used to talk about, wearing a mask emotionally, or you're hiding behind a mask so that nobody knows who you are. But now we literally got masks on. But I already mentioned about how the commercials make a point now. You don't have to touch anybody. And churches, too many churches are still cowering along with the rest of the world. Praise God, I'm so happy. I realize part of it's because we're small and we don't have to worry about upsetting anybody too much. But praise God that we are all here today.
Amen.
That we have been meeting ever since the end of May. Because we believe that that's what God called us to do.
Amen, that's true.
And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for all of you who have put that aside. Even when we've had a couple of scares, y'all been here. Y'all didn't quit coming.
Amen.
But the root issue behind all of this is that we have distanced ourselves as a country from God.
That's true.
See, we were created for community. We were created in His image. God is a triune God, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He Himself is community, and He created us in His image, according to Genesis chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. Let me start that over. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Tells us that.
Amen.
He created us for unity as family. He told Adam and Eve, what? Be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm. That's verse 28 there, right after those first two that I couldn't get right. And then he said later, as we get the retelling of the creation story, he said, it's not good for man to be alone.
That's right.
He intended us to have community with others, particularly among believers.
Amen.
What did Jesus? Jesus said that we're going to be known as His disciples by what? By our love for each other. Y'all want to have that burned into your head. I say it every other time, it seems like.
Amen.
But it's true. And the early church practiced that. If you look in the book of Acts, chapter 2, that's how they functioned. They met together, and they also met from house to house. And they shared meals together, and they prayed together, and they studied the Word together. And we are also, that's how we gain our encouragement. We encourage each other. We help keep each other on the straight and narrow, right? We're not supposed to forsake, according to Hebrews chapter 10, we're not supposed to leave off the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because we need that community. We need each other to help each other along.
Yes.
It provides an accountability. It allows us to not only keep each other straight, but to bear one another's burdens, like it says over in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. God created us for community also with Himself. Ephesians chapter 1, and it's not the primary scripture, I don't have it on the screen, but Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, I'm going to read. It says, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intentions of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved, that is Christ.
Amen.
When we choose to habitually, and I say that way for a reason, we choose habitual isolation. We pull away from other people, and especially from our brothers and sisters in Christ. But when we pull away, we rebel against God's plan for our lives.
Amen.
And remember, we studied last week, what happens when we do that? When we don't do things the way God designed them to work, stuff goes wrong. And we do it for a number of reasons. In fact, a lot of times it is because of our sin that we back away. Because we don't want anybody to know.
Right.
If we get too close, then somebody might find out.
Right.
So we pull away. Or we're embarrassed and ashamed, so we back up and we pull away. When we separate ourselves from others, we turn inward. And we become selfish. Because, well, for one thing, we're not exposed to the needs of others. We've cut ourselves off, so we're not even aware. All we see is our own need. And our natural selfish tendencies will take over then, and there's no counterbalance, because all we're seeing is ourselves. We are not able to take part also in what we refer to as the Great Commission, right? Jesus said, go to all the world and preach the gospel. But we can't do that if we're not in contact. Many years ago, when I was going through a tough time, as I recall, we had just gotten back from a mission trip, and I was feeling sorry for myself. Felt like that I had not been treated fairly somehow, or you know, people had looked down on me, or didn't really want me to be part of the. You know, I don't know. Can't remember now what all I was feeling. A very self-centered way of looking at things. But that's where I was at the time. And I remember I even wrote a letter and shared it with some people, and just really was not the right way to handle that. But I don't remember now all of the circumstances or what he said to me, but the former leader of that mission trip shared this verse with me that I'm about to read. And it stuck with me. And I don't even remember now what he said or why he shared it with me, except unless maybe it was that I had, you know, I was pulling back. I didn't go to church that morning. But it's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. It simply says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound judgment, or all sound wisdom, rather. There's a whole different ways to translate that. We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to talk a little bit about studying the Word. But there are some translation difficulties, particularly when you get to the Proverbs, because the Proverbs are so dependent on the cultural norms of the day and what people are going to associate with what's being said. They're very colloquial in nature. But the other thing that I know I've said this before, but the other thing I want us to share as you begin to study, and I know most of y'all in here have been around a while and you know, probably got past this point. But I used to get intimidated. I can remember my dad sitting, and we were sitting in a vacation Bible school, and he had the youth. And he brought all of his books with him, all of his concordances and all the stuff that he used. You know, that was before the internet. That was before you did everything on the computer. It was so much easier. It's so much easier now to do that stuff. I don't know that I could do things the old-fashioned way. It would take me forever. And that's what I was thinking when he put all this stuff in, and he was showing us how to study, how to look stuff up, how to use the concordance and find out what the words mean and so forth. And I'm thinking, you know, I've got all these big old books and you've got to put them underneath. I had a magnifier accessible to me, but, you know, I need the thing 45X and you've got five letters on the screen and these great old big books to put underneath there and find what you're looking for. You know, I did that kind of thing because that's the way you had to do it. But I'm thinking, oh man, this is too much. And then I got, as I got older and things became more accessible, and I started looking at all the different translations. And then I had another crisis of faith, because I'm like, well, how are we supposed to know what it really says? I mean, if this translation puts it this way, and this one puts it this way, how are we supposed to, how's the scripture supposed to be infallible if nobody knows what it actually said? And so it was a struggle for me. But eventually I learned, and actually it wasn't that long ago that I learned this, that we have more examples of the scripture. We have more copies and more verification of the Bible, of the scriptures in the Bible, than any other piece of literature we've ever had. And yeah, are there still some questions? Yeah, there's still some questions. And we're going to look a little bit at particularly how the Proverbs can read. But you don't need to doubt what your Bible says. And we can quibble over a word here and a word there. But but God's truth is there. There's nothing that you will find that truly contradicts the important parts of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
You can trust that word. You can trust that word. But this is one of those areas that can be a little bit confusing. Because there are widely varying interpretations when you get into the Proverbs. And the translators, what they're trying to do is convey the meaning of the words. Now, you get into what we call a paraphrase, and sometimes they can get really wild, because they're going beyond translating the words, trying to tell you in their own words what that says. And those are really not the best deep study tools, but they will sometimes help you get a bit of a sense of what's being said. But boy, the Proverbs, they can just really get confusing. I'm going to give you some examples from this verse that we just read. There's a neat little feature that you can use if you have access to a computer. Bible Gateway has a neat little feature. You can pull up a verse, and there at the bottom of the verse, I don't think it does, it might do this when you have multiple verses, I'm not sure, I haven't looked. But if you put in a single verse, down at the bottom of the verse, it'll say, you know, look at this in all translations, all English translations, assuming you're looking at it in English. And so you can see then all of their, I don't know, 30 some odd versions, you can see how it's written. So let's, I probably should have put them up there, because it probably would have helped to be able to actually see it. But the Amplified says it this way. It says, he who willingly separates himself from God and man, seeks his own desire, he quarrels against all sound wisdom. I think I miswrote that. I think that's supposed to be the Common English Bible. Says, one who isolates himself pursues selfish desires. He rebels against all sound wisdom. No, that's not the Common English. Oh, that's the Christian Standard Bible. That's what that is. Because the Common English Bible reads totally different. It says, unfriendly people look out for themselves. They bicker with sensible people. Common Jewish Bible, I forget what that C stands for. The CJB, it's Jewish Bible. I forgot what the first one should have written it down. But it says, he who separates himself indulges his desires and shows contempt for sound advice of any kind. And then you've got the easy to read version that says some people like to do things their own way, and they get upset when people give them advice. Okay? See why we've got to see where the confusion is. And I've got several more here, but I'm not going to read them. I'm not going to read this, but just this one. Because this one really caught my attention. This is from our favorite, the King James. And it says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Huh? I need a translation for that. Right. And there's a whole bunch more, but there's some common threads here. And here these are the common threads. The separation that we're talking about is voluntary. In other words, this is not talking about a situation that you don't have any control over. You've made this decision. It's a voluntary decision that you made. Such separation is driven by selfish motive, and it is a rejection of wisdom, sound advice, good judgment. It's a choice that we make. Now, don't misunderstand me. Alone time is good. We need to be able to sort of rest emotionally, have some downtime. We need time to reflect. We need time to get before the Lord and pray and read the Word and have Him speak to us. That's all very important. In fact, somebody who cannot be alone is unhealthy. And what they tend to do actually is feed on others. And what's going to happen in that case is that because they're getting their emotional energy from others, they're going to end up isolating themselves by driving everybody else away. And that's not good either. But it's a choice that we make. And a lot of times it comes from pride. Nobody can tell me what to do. Yeah. It might be from greed. If I'm around people, they're going to want something I got. A lot of times it can be from fear. Because we've been hurt before, or because we're afraid of being hurt, and so we pull in. But it ultimately is a selfish motive. That's what this verse tells us. Because we're saying, my needs are more important than anything else. I've got to attend to me first. I don't want anything to do with you. Or that, you know, that I think in some cases it says that he rages against sound judgment. We get to the point where angrily defending ourselves, whether it's pride, whether it's fear, whether it's that response to the perceived threat that we have, we get angry and we fight. And because we don't want to get hurt. It says that he quarrels against all sound wisdom. Some translations kind of depict a quarrelsome, antisocial person that's prone to picking fights. Well, that may be part of it, but all wisdom to me seems to reflect a rebel, or even what the Proverbs would call a fool. And if you use that word, then it fits with verse 2, which, you know, we tend to look at the Proverbs as being one-off, but I think some of them go together, and it might go with verse 2 if you read it that way, which says that a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. But wisdom, we know, comes from God. Wisdom teaches us, first of all, to come to God. Wisdom teaches us to love each other. And you know what? Long-distance relationships, we've all seen them, right? And sometimes they work out. But generally, a lot of times they don't work out. The ones that work out, why is it that they work out? They work out because, first of all, you've got two faithful people. But second of all, there is a hope in that relationship, the only reason you keep it up is there's a hope that it's not going to be long distance forever. Well, isn't that something that we know? Sometimes we feel like we're long distance from God.
That's true.
I even literally write in letters sometimes. I know that he's right here. But sometimes it cannot feel that way. But we hold on. We hold on because we know that there's going to be a day when there's not going to be any question where he is. We're going to see his face.
Amen. Lord.
But to reject community is to reject God's plan. So what do we do with that in this day and age with everything that's going on? And people are genuinely afraid. And, you know, not completely without cause. Fear can be a mechanism that protects us, but it was never meant to be something that rules us. Our hope, people, is in the creator of the universe.
That's right.
Our hope is in somebody that is so much far beyond, so much bigger than anything that we can imagine. What in the world are we supporting? What can we fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. What if we die? We get to be with Jesus.
Amen.
And of course, you want to be reasonable. You know, God says choose life. We talked about that too. We choose the things that lead to life. But fear, living in fear is not life. Living in fear is death. So get out and do what God has called you to do. Pursue community.
Amen.
As individuals, we need each other.
That's right.
Something that God has taught me, or is teaching me, I'm still learning, is don't wait for a friend. Go be one.
Amen.
And yeah, I'd say I'm still learning. I'm still learning how that works, how to actually do that. But I've taken it to heart. The gospel was meant to be shared. And I believe, though, I'm thankful for all the different media that we have to do the things that we do. We ought to be using it. But the gospel was meant to be shared face to face.
That's right. Amen.
And you know what? You can't virtually baptize anybody. You can't baptize somebody you won't touch. Mm-hmm. I love, you know, Linda's been showing the videos of the people that are out there in the outdoors, doing the services, and that's one of the things they're doing. They're baptizing people. Mm-hmm. Praise God, because as a church. As churches in general, not just as this church, but as churches in general, the time for closing our doors is over.
Right.
It's time to open up. It's time to say, come on in and find what you've been looking for.
Amen.
We have more turmoil and more upset in this country than perhaps we've had since the Civil War. But Jesus is the answer to all of that. We've got the answer. And if they won't come in, let's go out.
Amen. Amen.
I think, certainly, I don't believe that God did this or caused this. Certainly, he was not, he's sovereign. He's in control of everything. This was, some malicious tool. But I guarantee you that he is using this to squeeze us out as a church generally. So that we're getting out there and we're doing things that haven't been done in a long time. And we're bringing in the people. We're going out to where they are. We're sharing the gospel.
Amen.
I've even tossed around the idea. I don't know. We're kind of in a neighborhood area. It might not work. Although people around us certainly don't mind throwing their parties and blasting their bass and so forth, because sometimes you have that going on in the middle of service. But I've even thought about the idea, with the weather cooling off, maybe we move our service out of the parking lot.
Amen.
And maybe do something like that. I don't know. We can talk about that. It's not just germ of an idea right now. We might want to do something special if we do that. But just thinking. Because isolating ourselves is contrary to everything that we are supposed to be. God doesn't do social distancing.
Amen.
We are to be a beacon of hope. We are to be saying, come and find the love of a family. Come and find the love of Jesus.
Amen.
And then, once you've found it, once you've got healed, whether that's inside or out, once you've got healed, once you're ready, come help us spread to a confused and hurting world. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for confirming your word today. We're still gonna be prudent in the things we do. I'm gonna put my mask on before I go back down there. But Lord, if somebody wants me to lay hands on, I'm gonna do it. Because the time is now. It's time to get over our fear and get about your business.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done, for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.